Welcome to Spectrum from China America Radio, a weekly public service production featuring news, information, and stories of interest to our China America Radio listeners in the United States and around the world. Now, here's this week's host, Steve Warren.
Our guest this week on Spectrum is probably the shortest name group that we've ever had. It's the letter I and the letter O. It's IOS. I'd like to welcome the band. We play a lot of your music, and thank you so much for coming to visit us.
Oh, thank you for inviting us, Steve. Yep. We're IO here. This is from frontman Angus.
I'm Hans. I'm the guitarist.
It's Cody, the drummer.
And also joining us is Ethan, who's one of our China America radio people. So Ethan Tsai is here, and he's going to help sort of co-host the event. We've been playing quite a bit of your music, and I know that you have, within the past year, won what I would say is an interesting award. I mean, you're kind of considered, been around for a dozen years, and yet you're still considered newcomers. How do you justify that?
Trying to fit into the market, you know, fit into the whole industry. I mean, you know, we've always been around as people, you know, but I mean, to the industry, we're new. And even to New York, we're new. To CMJ, the whole music scene, we're new. And this time around, we were interviewed by New York Times, and to them, we're new. And so, I mean, I don't mind being new, because when you're new, you have a fresh opportunity to define yourself or to express yourself, and it's good.
Because, and you can lie about your age.
I can lie about my age. And I mean, in Taiwan, it's hard to lie about your age. I mean, people all look around the same age.
Well, let's go back to the beginning. I mean, where did the group actually start? I mean, how did you first meet? How did you get together? When did it gel?
I'm Cody, and I'm the drummer. I actually started the band. Angus is my high school classmate, and Hans is my elementary school classmate. And I guess music really brought us closer together. Like, maybe we were more like acquaintances in the beginning. You know, we went to the same classes and stuff. But, you know, when I wanted to start a band, I just asked him, hey, are you interested?
And did you study music in school, or did you do music on the side?
Music was more like, you know, some kids, like, went during their off-school hours, they like to, you know, join a choir or play sports. And for us, it was like go to Hans' house or go to Angus's house and, like, play some songs.
Yeah, I think none of us actually study or learned music, like went to a class or anything. We all learned on our own. So, yeah.
Well, the interesting thing, one of the interesting things about you guys, there are many, is that you're from Vancouver, which
yes.
is one of the loveliest spots in all of North America.
Yes, it is.
I've been there many, many times. How is mixing your music and your culture going around Vancouver, which I know has a huge Asian population?
Yeah.
Was it pretty much at home in that place, right?
Yeah. For me, I mean, I feel like being in Vancouver and also Chinese, you have this view of wanting to bring what you see to a market where you kind of feel like is it could benefit from certain thing from the more English-oriented market industry. Because it always felt like in the Chinese songs that we heard growing up, there always this something in the pie that's missing that we always hear on the other end of the radio. And we feel like maybe that's what we could do. We could be that bridge, you know, we can bring what we hear or what the music embraces into the more Asian-oriented culture. And we tried to do that. I don't know if we succeeded in doing that.
A lot of your music can be done in English. When did you decide to go more full bore into Mandarin vocals as well as English?
I think it was a time
seven years ago,
yeah. 8 years ago, when we were the three of us at the time, and then we were also at a time where we're kind of feeling like maybe we need a fourth guy, you know, either to sing or either to play a certain instrument to kind of like make everything come together. And we happened to join a contest meeting a friend who jammed with us, and we felt something interesting going on together, a chemistry, and we felt somehow, well Cody brought it up, and then I think at the time he felt there was an opportunity in us, or there's something in us that was special that he thinks this might work, and let's go somewhere in a Chinese-speaking country in Asia to start this music thing. And at the time, we thought maybe Taiwan, I guess. Taiwan at the time was kind of like the central point for Chinese-Asian music. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of picked that place at that time because of this reason. So that was the time when we started to write Chinese lyrics and then kind of like looked up the dictionary for every possible translation for all the words that we don't know how to speak. And that was the time.
When you were growing up, were your families maintained their Chinese identity and culture and language around the house? Or did you have to kind of pick that up a little bit later? Because there's two kinds of folks that come across the Pacific, some that forget everything and some that want to bring everything with them.
It's interesting because all three of us come from different backgrounds. I actually grew up in a Cantonese-speaking home, and my parents made it a rule that they would not listen to me when I speak English. So that was their way of trying to keep me be able to speak Chinese, and I really appreciate it now after all these years.
Because Hans, how about you?
My parents pretty much speak Mandarin at home all the time. So
where were they from originally? Where was
Taiwan. Family? They were from Taiwan. Taiwan, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we speak Mandarin. We kept our Mandarin pretty up to date.
Well, it's changed a little bit, and there's certainly many dialects out there available.
Yes.
Tell our audience about the music you play. Were you influenced by either any American artist or any Canadian pop artists as you were growing up? I mean, most people didn't grow up in a vacuum. They listened to the radio or they bought downloads or CDs or whatever the genre du jour happens to be. Who were the folks that...
Each of us have like very, very different influences. And we were all influenced by different things. And personally, I'm influenced a lot by a lot of good old hard rock stuff, a lot of, you know, AC/DC stuff, you know, even hip hop stuff, jazz stuff, you know, Ella Fitzgerald, stuff like that.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, just, you know, more modern rock stuff, maybe like, at the time, more modern rock stuff, maybe like, at the time it would be U2, Coldplay, Green Day. So everything that's on the radio that probably not on the radio, I would listen to, and I kind of have this thing towards like an older American image of how America is supposed to be, like a jazzy America,
right, yeah, right.
You know, when everything sounds smooth and nice and everybody talks with class. And that's like, I also have a thing for that. And so I come from a lot of different music, and my family has always been involved with music.
Well, there's a big music scene in Canada in a variety of different types of music all the way across.
Yeah.
I, for many years, have spent a lot of time in country music.
And I
was actually in Calgary, Alberta, on 9/11, and stranded in Canada.
Wow.
I couldn't come back to New York for a week. I was in the Marriott Hotel in downtown Calgary,
right,
watching the Canadian version of CNN,
right,
watching the Canadian Maple Leaf flag outside my window, but not being able to come back into my country.
Wow.
You know, that's a week that's etched in my mind. And I love Calgary, and I'd already been there for a week. I had to find something else to do for another week.
Oh, wow.
So I would love to have been able to go to Vancouver. I'm leaving Ethan out of the conversation. I know he has some things he'd like to ask you, so why don't you take it for a few seconds?
Hello, hello. I'm the invisible host, Ethan Tai, over here. All right, so, yeah, when I heard I was coming into the deal, I was like, I gotta be there, you know? Like,
thank you.
The fact that you guys are from Vancouver, one of my dream city when I was little. So I want to know about when did you guys start playing music?
For me, I started playing when I was 9. I'm Hans, and I started playing the clarinet. That was my first instrument in school band.
Very cool.
Yeah,
extremely cool.
We look forward to seeing you bringing it back someday.
and then I switched to drums, which got a little bit cooler, and then I picked up guitar.
And you're saying guitar is the coolest
That's
one.
Yeah, exactly what he's saying.
I was in a marching band when I was in high school. Okay?
Very cool. Very cool. Respect. Awesome. Respect.
Cody, I used to play drums, and I know you're the first guy in and the last guy out. Did you ever think of taking up the piccolo? And things like that?
I played the recorder in elementary school.
You did?
Yeah. Thinking of bringing it. Try it in the band. You know.
You guys won the GMA Award. 2011, the newcomer, or that's when you first kind of quote to quote break into the industry.
Yeah. Right.
With a very famous song, 真实, right, means true. Okay. So I want to know, what does the song mean to the three of you? Like, okay, how did you come up with the lyrics? Because the song was so amazing. I cry, seriously.
Gosh,
you're not the only one.
You're
not the only one.
You know?
No.
And I'm not the type of guy who cry all the time.
Oh, gosh. I'm flattered.
My dog died.
Cody, who was like, start?
I guess the song is really about our lives.
Okay.
You know, because we were just working full-time jobs after our university course, graduate degrees are finished. And I just thought, you know, is that everything? Is that all there is to our lives? Just get a job, you know, work, and make some money and start, you know. So we thought, let's try something different and really think about, you know, what really makes life worth living.
Mm.
Yeah. But yeah, Angus is the one that wrote the lyrics and the melody. Maybe
so probably I should speak last. So I don't.
No. So he doesn't upstage all of us, and we're just like, yeah.
No, well, for me, I'm honest. I still remember when I did the demo at home. I think that song really inspired me because at one point I was working on it, and at one point when I hit the playback button, I hear it, and I could see an image. I could see us playing that song in a stadium with thousands of people, and it's a really touching moment for me. And for me, that's when I knew, that's it, this band and this song, it's going to go far.
Wow, the visionary of the band, huh?
Yeah,
that's pretty crazy, man.
So you sat down in front of an empty sheet of paper.
Yeah, pretty much. So, a computer, actually.
Where did it come from? Well,
I wrote this song in the basement, just kind of waiting for someone to come over in the band room. And then so it was like a bathroom break song. You know, someone was in the bathroom, and then I was waiting for a certain person to come back. And then in between that, I kind of like, okay, let's write a song. And I wrote it, and I'm like, yeah, it's pretty cool. And people like, yeah, it's all right. And then I took it home, and then I'm like, yeah, it's an interesting song. Let's write some words for it. And then once I wrote the words, I was like so excited. I ran over to Cody's room and then told him about the lyrics. He was like, yeah, it's okay. And then we just like kind of worked it out. And I mean, Cody kind of pretty much, I think he spoke for on behalf of what the song meant. And I think I feel the same way with Hans, that once the whole song was done in its demo stage, we kind of heard, wow, we actually did something like this at the time. And it kind of blew my mind at the time, because we were trying to adapt to the whole Chinese scene at the time, learning to write Chinese, learning to even speak the language that was in a way that was relevant to the Taiwanese people, because we never lived in Taiwan. And so the way we spoke probably did not really even, you know, resonate with the Taiwanese people. And so at the time, there were a lot of conflicts, a lot of learning process going on, and this song kind of like helped us shape who we are.
Since then, you've had quite a few other very, very popular songs, and a famous musician who I can't remember, but I remember what they said more than I remember who they are, said that you should really enjoy singing your hits because you're going to be singing them the rest of your careers.
Yeah, cool.
Do you still enjoy singing the older songs as much as you like introducing the new stuff?
For me, Angus, I'm in this dilemma. I love performing the hits, but I don't like practicing the hits. Because we know by nature, we play the hits best anyway. And then we just hate practicing it because we know how everything would go, and we don't want to change how the hits are anyway, because if we change them too much, it wouldn't be the way it's supposed to be. So for me, I love performing them, though. I don't know about you, Hans.
Yeah, I love performing them. Just that sometimes when we perform, every time when I perform songs like Real, 真实, I imagine us in stadium. So, but sometimes when we play to like
Was that
at weird places?
What's the closest? What's the closest you ever came to being performing into that size of a stadium?
Oh, we actually did. We actually did the following year.
What was the largest venue you've ever played?
The
Taipei Arena.
Yeah, Taipei Arena.
Which would house about 10 grand people of audience, and we I think we're blessed and also honored.
We played there twice.
Yeah, twice.
And have you made buddies with the other people in the Taiwan music scene? I mean,
like each of us have different, you know, networks of friends and stuff like that. And you know, we're also honored to have kind of met and interacted with Jam Xiao, Xiao Jingtan. And he's deliberately expressed how much he's loved our music. And that is why we went to Taipei Arena, because it was his concert that he wanted us to open for him.
Nice.
And so he wanted, like, his whole motive was for us to be introduced to his crowd.
Yeah, right.
And so it was,
saw that his fans would certainly like what you guys do.
Yeah, so it was great to kind of know the guy. You know, he's a very genuine guy, very down to earth.
Yeah, I thought it would be interesting for our audience to know that as a second generation Asian Canadian,
right,
to break in Taiwan, how do, like, a lot of people ask this question? They're like, "Oh, I'm in the middle of nowhere in America. How do I go about this? I have a band, but
I think for us back then, we had really had no idea. We just thought if we have good product, we go there, people will notice. I mean, music, our music is our product, right? We are the product. So if we thought if we have what's good and we go there, people would notice. And we started from Lifehouse and got to know a few people and basically just networking locally. And then eventually we broke into the...
I have to say we were lucky and blessed at the same time that we got to where we are. I mean, a lot of people do what we do, but they just don't get anywhere. So I think it was a privilege that we actually got a break in somewhere of our lives with the music. But I mean, nowadays, like, even in nowhere in America, there's the internet, there's YouTube. Sure. There's so many Asian artists on YouTube nowadays anyway. And they're huge. I mean, they're like selling out concerts in Taipei, and I'm jealous.
and a lot of American artists that have become superstars in Taiwan, Humbly Wong or like Galil Fong or people are very well accepted.
Yes.
And So the future, we just have about a minute left. Where are you guys headed in the future? You got some other plans? You're going to cruise back through Canada? Are you going to head back to Taiwan? You're going back to the studio? What's up next?
We're going back. We're going to be shooting our music video here for the next 2 days, and then we'll be heading back to Taiwan, and we'll finish our third studio album, and it should be released by the end of this year. And we also have a concert coming up in Taiwan.
In December.
And when and if you go back to Vancouver, are you received better than when you left?
We actually have not gone back to Vancouver as the band, only as who we are personally.
Oh, so
and
so, a big comeback.
We're still waiting for the Vancouver people to call us back.
Yeah. So to all the Vancouver audience that's listening right now, please invite
us.
Yes, we will gladly go home and perform.
Hey, listen, guys, thank you so much for coming. Oh,
thank you, Steve.
It was
our honor.
It's really amazing, and I hope we can catch up in Taiwan. I should be
for sure.
sometime after the first of the year.
Go cool.
Maybe you guys will be doing a showcase or something.
Yeah, of course.
Thanks for joining us on China America.
Thank you, Steve.
Listen again next Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern for another edition of Spectrum. To hear previously broadcast editions of Spectrum, visit the Spectrum tab on our website to listen or download your favorite past programs. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Spectrum. Now, back to the music on China America Radio.